I want you to take your Bible tonight and turn to Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter 3. A few weeks ago we started a series. It's a new series. I don't know how long it'll last, but tonight will be the fourth lesson. And the series is called Destructive Behaviors. Destructive Behaviors. Tonight is another behavior that can be destructive to us or to others. I'm going to call it circumstantial living. Circumstantial living. Daniel chapter 3, I want you to look at verse number 1, and we're going to read a handful of verses. I'll read them out loud, and you can follow along silently. Would you please stand as we read the scripture? Daniel chapter 3, starting with verse number 1. The Bible says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. The princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sacrament, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Now, I want you to find verse number 26. And the story continues at verse 26 of Daniel 3. It says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. The princes, the governors, the captains, the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor that the smell of their fire, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them." Tonight we're going to talk about this story, and I think we can learn something from the story. And let me pray for us. Father, bless us as we study one of the most famous stories in your entire book, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, might we learn something so that our lives will be safe? We don't want our lives destroyed by wrong behavior. So tonight, Holy Spirit of God, control what's said and done. Father, don't let my frailties, don't let my weakness keep these folks from getting what they need from your word. I pray, Father, that you would just help us tonight to be better Christians and protected in our behavior, maybe as a result, in somewhat as a result of the teaching tonight, please. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. In the story that I just read to you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were some Jewish young men. I don't know exactly how old they are. Many would say that they were teenagers, maybe older teenage boys, but they were not. They were not old men by any stretch of the imagination. They had been taken into captivity, into the country of Babylon. They call it the Babylonian captivity. The king at that time, his name was Nebuchadnezzar. And the king had set up a false god, an image of gold. And it says in Daniel chapter 3, verse 1, it said, "Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon." And what was going to happen is, in a moment, he's about to say to the people that they are to worship that thing. Now, this false god, it was 80 cubits high. A cubit is equivalent to about a foot and a half, or 18 inches. So this false god, this god of gold that they had built, was about 90 foot high. It was 6 cubits wide, which means it was 90 foot high and about 9 feet wide, 9-10 foot wide. And they put an awful lot of work into that thing, and it was his way to get the people. He wanted everybody worshiping the same thing. He wanted everybody on the same page. the king, he built this thing, and he called all the most powerful leaders from all around his country to come and to be a part of this. There was a decree, or there was an announcement made, and he told everybody, he said, when you hear the music of my symphony of instruments, you're to bow down and you're to worship this god. Now, he didn't call it a false god, but we all know it was a false god. It was a 90-foot tall, 9-foot, 10-foot wide gold statue. It says in Daniel chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it said that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image. And then he said, and whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now, in order to make this announcement, they called the country's leaders together for a meeting, and you heard it. In verse number 2, it says here that the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces. And he wanted to make sure that everybody was in on this, so he was pulling all the leadership together. The princesses would have, or these people would have been people like his cabinet of counselors. The governors would have been like the FBI of that day. They use the word captains. They would have been a lot like our ambassadors. The judges would have been the lawmakers, or like our congressmen. The treasurers would have been like the people that would work for the IRS in our day and age. His counselors would have been like a group, maybe like the Supreme Court. The sheriffs would have been those that would take care of the civil part of society, maybe police officers or mayors. And then finally, he actually wraps it up by saying all the rulers of the provinces. In other words, anybody that had any clout, anybody that had any leadership, anybody that had any power, he brought them all together to make this announcement, to let everybody know, we're all going to bow down. When you hear that symphony of music, everybody's going to bow down at that moment to that 90-foot tall false god. Now, these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were there, they were in captivity, and they were told to do the very same thing. Well, the time came, and the symphony began to play, and everybody bowed down except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they would not bow down and worship the false god. I have to tell you something. The devil's plan, or Nebuchadnezzar's plan, was that by not bowing down, they would lose their life. And so, you know, by not bowing down, it saved their life. I believe that God is the one that sustained them through that all, and it had a lot to do with the fact that they had been living right when they were in that captivity. And God's hand was upon them, and God gave them protection. So they were cast into the burning fiery furnace. These boys said, we're not going to bow down. And as the king promised, he had some of his soldiers take those three boys. They stoked up the furnace, and it was so hot that when the soldiers were going to throw these three young men in, that it consumed the soldiers that tried to throw the young men in. And they threw these young men in there. And if you've heard the story, I'm sure, and if you were listening to what we read, the king, and he had all his big shots gathered around. They were looking in there and said, it looks like there's more than three in there. It looks like there's four in there. Of course, he said, the fourth looks like it could be, that might be God's representative in there. That might be the Son of God in there. And indeed, God was in the fire with them. And when they came out of that fire, it says not a hair of their head had been singed, and their clothes were clean, and they were fine. Now, they went in the fire, they came out of the fire, and God had protected them. Now, I believe this. I believe that they had a courage, and they lived right in spite of circumstances. In spite of circumstances, I could not tell you how often as a pastor I hear someone say, well, preacher, I messed up, but it was the circumstances that I found myself in. We call it our situation. Well, I did wrong, but in my situation, and there was a justification then given, these three young men did right in spite of their circumstances. And I'm going to talk about that for a little while, and I'm going to tell you why this series is, it's about destructive behavior. I believe that when you and I make bad decisions and we blame our circumstances for it, we are placing ourselves in harm's way. We tend to want to justify doing wrong because of our situation. But folks, what is right is right, and our circumstances will not change what right is. And we are living in a day and age, though, where people don't think that way anymore. They don't want a right and a wrong, and they don't want there to be a line drawn, and they like the idea of there being some wishy-washy right and wrong. There's way too much give to what's right and what's wrong in people's thinking today. So these three young men did what was right in spite of their circumstances. Their circumstances were very difficult, but these men did not look at the circumstance to decide how to live. They looked at the Bible to decide how to live in the circumstance. And so, folks, you don't decide if something is right and wrong based on the setting in which you find yourself. You decide what's right and wrong based on what the Bible says. And that is not letting circumstances determine your behavior. The sermon will be very simple, very down to earth, and very practical. Though I call it destructive behavior, lesson number 4, circumstantial living. We've got to learn to live what's right and what's wrong, not based on circumstances, but based on what's right or based on what's wrong. And that is proven, or that is found in the Scripture. Let me show you what I mean about these guys did not live based on their circumstances. You'll see it here. First of all, these three young men did right even though their circumstance took them away from home. They did right even though their circumstances took them away from home. Here's something that I think anybody here that would be honest could tell you. It's easier to compromise your Christianity when you're away from home. These young men had been carried into a Babylonian captivity. They were in a strange land. They were in a heathen land. Well, you go in a strange land and in a heathen land where everybody's doing whatever they want to do, you could probably begin to do whatever you want to do, and there's not as many people that would notice what you were doing. Let me say to everybody in here, don't go on vacation and become a totally different person what you are before you went on vacation. When I go on vacation, I go to church. When I go on vacation, you know, Mrs. Owens dresses right when we're on vacation and when we're not on vacation. We don't decide how to dress based on where we are. We decide how to dress based on what the Bible says. When you know, there are people, they'll get out there and they'll get to run around and they'll forget about church and they'll forget about separation. We went on a cruise recently. You know that we went soul winning while we were on the cruise. We were winning people to Christ. Why? We were gone, and we go soul winning every week of our lives, and so we went soul winning. Do you know, before we left, we wrote our tithe check out in advance and left it behind. We were going to be gone, but because we were going to be gone didn't mean that we weren't supposed to tithe, and because we were going to be gone did not mean that we were not to dress right, and because we were going to be gone didn't mean we weren't supposed to go to church, and we were going to be gone, but that doesn't mean we're not supposed to live right. And so, but what happens, and I'm not talking, the intent of this point is not about vacation. It's about the fact that these young men, they were away from home, but they still did right. They were still doing right. most people act differently away from home base where their church is not and where, you know, the bulk of the Christians that they know, if they're not around, we think then it's okay for us to live in a way that maybe is not pleasing to God. And you know what causes that? You fear people more than you fear God. When you get away from home, did you know God sees everything that you do? If you only live right because you're afraid the preacher's going to see if you don't, or some good Christian's going to see you if you don't, I've got news for you. You're looking at the wrong people, because you ought to be concerned about what God thinks. And these young men, they did right when they were away from home. And I happen to believe that's what saved their life when they got thrown in the furnace. I think they got thrown in the furnace and they were spared because they truly believed what they believed, and they were living it in some very tough circumstances. Someone said the true test of your character is what you would do if nobody would see you. Bob Jones said, you are what you are in the dark. It's when you don't think anybody sees you. You know, sometimes people get away from their home church. Let me warn you. I've told young men this for years. They'll maybe join Army, Navy, Air Force, the Marines. Do you know that joining the military does not separate you from doing right by God? Go off to Bible college. I tell our Bible college students this. They'll go off to Bible college, and I'll say, listen, you go to Bible college, you're supposed to live for God. Hey, you go off to college that's not a Bible college, you're still supposed to serve God. You're going to go off to college somewhere. You better find the right kind of a church so you can go to church, and you ought to be reading your Bible, and you ought to be separated. And you don't go off to college because the rest of the world goes off to college to party. You go off to college, you're still supposed to serve God. So people they'll go off to the military, and then they forget how they're supposed to live. People go off to college, and then they forget how they're supposed to live. Hey, when you go off to visit your relatives at Thanksgiving or Christmas or on family vacation, don't forget how you're supposed to live. Just because you left your church's general area does not justify misbehavior while you're out of town. These young men, they lived right in spite of the circumstance of being away from home. And I have watched people leave their home area, get backslidden, and it only took a week or two till they had themselves totally out of the will of God because of letting circumstances determine their behavior instead of letting the Bible determine their behavior during the circumstance. Let me go on. Number two. These young men did right even though their circumstances found them in the minority. So first of all, they did right away from home, which I believe is that's what saved them in the fire. But now they did right even though they were in the minority. If you remember, hey, where was everybody else? Have you ever thought about that? Three got thrown in the furnace. Where in the world was everybody else? They should have been building a bigger furnace, right? Why wasn't there a million of them that said, we're not doing it. We're not going to bow down to that false god. I wonder if everybody else said, well, under these circumstances, we're outnumbered. Can I tell you all something? Outnumbered or not, do the right thing. Nowhere does God say, look, if it's going to come out okay and you're not going to get hurt, live for me. You're supposed to live for God because it's right to live for God. And in this day and age, if most people are doing it, it's probably wrong. These guys were outnumbered three among thousands and maybe millions. Don't allow the crowd to determine how you live. Don't try to be popular with the devil's crowd. These guys were definitely outnumbered. I did not get to go to a Christian school. I did not get to be homeschooled. I wish I could have. Back then, my parents, we didn't know anything about it. And even if it just didn't work out, I went to a public school. I can tell you something. I was outnumbered. I carried my Bible to school every day. And I was outnumbered. I got mocked. I got teased. But I carried my Bible to school. I was outnumbered. But you say, boy, that probably hurt. Well, I'll tell you something. I watched all sorts of cowardly Christians really get hurt in life because they let the world influence their behavior. I was spared many things because I carried my Bible when I was outnumbered. And I'm just telling you, folks, these three young men were in the minority, but they did right, and they're the ones that got thrown in the fire and came out of the fire and were not singed. If you were all listening to, I think it was in the evening services, the Shooks talk, they sang a song about what they missed by being saved. I thought, what a powerful song. There are a lot of things that you and I get to bypass in life because we've lived for the Lord. You say, but preacher, I've had a lot of burdens. Let me tell you this. You might look and say, well, I had a lot of burdens and I was saved. Let me tell you, your burdens would have been 10 times as worse. So you're looking at it the wrong way. You're coming out of this thing real good, I'll promise you. But these young men did not let the circumstance of being in the minority stop them from doing what's right. I can remember when I was working in what wasn't what we called a machine shop. We didn't really consider it a factory, but I ran lathes and I ran mills, and we worked around the steel work. And I'll tell you something. When I carried my Bible into work in the machine shop, I was outnumbered. I was outnumbered, but I still needed to do right. And there were certain people I could not sit with at lunch. Because of their mouth and the way they would talk and what they would say. There are people I would not dare go out and share a meal with because I'm just sure they'd be drinking and cussing and telling dirty jokes and everything. I was outnumbered, but I still needed to do right. You young people, if you go to the public school, you need to go there and do right if you're the only one. And don't let the crowd influence you. You do right in spite of the circumstance of being outnumbered. And I might say, in this day and age, if you go to the Christian school, go there and do right. Going to a Christian school does not make you a good Christian. It's doing right while you're at the school is what will make you a good Christian. So these young men, and I'm just telling you, you know what will destroy a Christian? What will destroy a Christian is when they do what they do based on their circumstances instead of doing what they do based on the Bible. And we want to blame the situation for our wrong or our choice of wrong. But folks, we shouldn't let the circumstance determine how we live. You ever heard someone say, well, under these circumstances, here's my answer to that. What are you doing under the circumstance? Get on top of that circumstance. Make right decisions. They did when they were away from home. They did when they were outnumbered. Then they did right, and this is number three, they did right even though their circumstances found the big shots of Babylon against them. They did right even when all the big shots or all these other leaders would have had them to do wrong. The Babylonian Empire at that time was the greatest in the world. These three young men, they stood when there were all sorts of leaders that were not even standing. You know, if you read that there's that real long piece of scripture, and they talked about all those people that were there. You know, let me see if I can find it. He said, then Nebuchadnezzar, in verse number 2, the king sent together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, the rulers of the province. Boy, everybody's in on this thing. Now you got these three probably older teenage boys and the governor and the king and the sheriff and the mayor and everybody says, we're going to do this. And three teenage boys said, we're not. Now, they weren't being rebellious. They were being submissive to God. So here, there were big shots, powerful people that wanted them to do wrong. When I was in high school, I loved sports. I love sports in general. But I played basketball. And I have to tell you, my basketball coach, I remember when I finally was on the varsity team, he told me that we were going to practice on Wednesday nights. I said, I can practice on Wednesday night up until this time. And he said, if you're going to play ball for me, you're going to practice to the end of practice. I said, Are you telling me that if I'm going to go to church on Wednesday night, that I can't play ball for you? He said, you need to be at the full practice. I said, well, I'm going to church on Wednesday night. I was going to church before I got on the ball team. And I said, and I wasn't being a smart aleck. I was very cautious. I wasn't being a smart aleck. You say, what happened? I told him, I said, I'll quit the team before I'll miss Wednesday night church. And at first he said, fine. Except for I was a freshman that was averaging 26, 28 points a game. You really don't want a freshman that's averaging 26 points a game to decide not to be on the team anymore. And he came back and he said, well, we can probably work this out. I went to church on Wednesday night. You say, what would he have done? I would have quit the ball team. I'm not going to let ball keep me out of church. I don't play that way. I don't let circumstances determine right and wrong. I was taught to let right and wrong be determined by the Bible, and then the circumstances have to deal with me. I don't want to deal with the circumstance. That's just the way I was taught. We had a convocation at our high school, and they would bring the whole school together. And when they told me, they said, well, it's going to be a rock and roll convocation. I said, I don't go to rock and roll concerts. I got sent to the principal's office. The principal said, what are you talking about? I said, I don't go to rock and roll concerts. He said, well, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know, but if you don't want me to go to school, you want me to go home? What do you want me to do? He said, you're really serious about this, aren't you? I said, yeah, I'm really serious about this. I gave up rock and roll, and I'm not going to go to a rock and roll concert, even if the school's hosting it. He said, okay, I want you to be here, and you're going to sit in the hallway right by the door where everybody's going in and out of the convocation. And the whole school knew that I was sitting there to be punished. Can I tell you something? All the other Christians that should have taken a stand, they've been through divorces and drug addictions and prison stays and all sorts of things. Now, so far, I haven't suffered with any of that. I've been thinking about becoming a drunk. If you've been in the pastorate as long as I have, you'd understand that. But I tell you, I did not let circumstances dictate my behavior. I needed to do the right thing. And I'll tell you, you talk about hard. We went to a high school with hundreds of students. I sat in a chair as they all went into the rock concert. And I had to sit in that chair as they all came out. But I did the right thing. And this wasn't when I was a pastor. And this wasn't after I went to Bible college. I was 16 years old. Some of you young people, you know how to live right, but you just don't have any backbone or any courage. And you let other things determine. You let circumstances determine how you're going to live. You're not supposed to do that. We're to live right based on the Bible. And then we put our Bible behavior into the circumstance. We don't let the circumstance dictate what we're going to do. And so, these young men survived the fire. They were not destroyed. Remember, the lesson is about destructive behaviors. And I think when we let circumstances determine our behavior, that will sooner or later destroy us as Christians. So they did right when they were away from home. They did right when they were in the minority. They did right even when Babylon and the leaders were against them. I'll tell you this, I think it's number three or four, they did right even knowing that their jobs might be at stake. Do you know who these young men work for? They work for King Nebuchadnezzar. To some degree, they were government employees. But you know right's always right and wrong's always wrong. Listen, if my boss said to me, you and I are going drinking. Well, when I was in the secular world, you know what I would have told my boss? I don't drink. If he would have said to me, you're going drinking or get fired, can I tell you what would have happened to me? I would have gotten fired. Because money doesn't mean that much to me. God means everything to me. You say, well, that's why you're the preacher. It's not because I'm a preacher. It's because I've been taught that as a Christian. You don't decide what's right or wrong based on the circumstances. You decide what's right or wrong based on the Bible. I call the lesson circumstantial living. If you make your decision based on the circumstance, you'll end up doing the wrong thing. Did you know you're not to keep your job at any cost? You know, we all think the world of some of the heroes of the Bible. Do you know they risk themselves over and over again and everything to do right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, most everybody in here, they love the story. They love what it stands for. But you got to stop and realize something. These guys were really putting themselves on the line. They didn't let the circumstance in which they found themselves determine if they would do right or wrong. They decided to do right no matter what the circumstance. Let me go on. Number next. And I always say number next when I can't figure out what number I'm supposed to be on. Have you all figured that out? Okay, next. They did right in spite of the circumstance of possibly losing their life. Now, these young men are incredible young men. They said, we're away from home, but that will not change the Bible. They said, we're in the minority, but that will not change the Bible we're committed to live. They said, there are big shots against it, but that's not going to change the way we're going to live. We may lose our job, but that's not going to change the way we're going to live. We could lose our life, but that's not going to change the way we're going to live. Folks, do right and God will protect you. But I want to tell you something. If you do right and you go to the fiery furnace and you get burned alive, do right. You all like it that somebody died for you. What would be wrong if God someday wanted you to die for Him? Listen, others in history have done right and lost their lives. We live in a very anemic day. A statement or two like I just made make people go, what? What? Yeah, if you've got to give up your life for Jesus, you ought to be willing to give up your life for Jesus. The worst that could happen to you is you die and go to heaven. Or do you not believe there is a heaven? Or are you really atheist at heart? Do you know that Moses was the son of Pharaoh's daughter? He gave up the inheritance of the wealthiest inheritance available on the entire face of the earth. He gave up the entire inheritance to do what God wanted. He didn't let circumstances determine whether he would do right or wrong. You look at Paul. Paul probably, politically, Paul could have been a pretty big shot if he wanted to be. But, you know, Paul gave up everything to follow Jesus Christ. Sacrifice. You know, Matthew had to change his business. He gave up his business. He gave a pretty, you know, Matthew would have been one of the guys that had a pretty good retirement package, I'm going to guess. But he gave that up. Why? For Jesus Christ. Do you know, I don't know if you all realize that the Apostle Peter, you know, he was crucified upside down in the end. He gave his life for Jesus Christ. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we so glibly tell the story. And with some excitement, we're thrilled about what they did. But if you really stop and look at it, here's some young men that did what they did based on the Bible, and it was not their circumstances. They didn't decide what to do based on what everybody else was doing. They didn't decide what to do based on what the leaders of the world said ought to be done. They didn't decide what they would do based on the fact that they were in power. No, they were in the minority. They didn't do what they would do because they were at home and it was easy. They were not at home and it was not easy for them to do. So, the concept I'm trying to say to you and I tonight is this. Don't decide what's right and wrong based on the circumstances. Decide what's right and wrong based on the Bible. And then do right in whatever the circumstance. Let me say one other thing and then we'll be done. Now, the result, hey, by the way, this thing of giving your life, do you know that they wanted Jesus to deny that he was the Son of God? They wanted him to deny that. If Jesus would have just said, no, I'm not the Messiah, I'm not the Son of God, they would have said, okay, fine, you can go. He couldn't deny it. Why? It was the truth. Folks, don't deny the truth, even if your life is threatened. Now, some of you will remember the Columbine Massacre. There was a young lady at the high school when the Columbine High School was attacked. She was asked to deny Jesus. A young man holding a pistol to her head said, all you got to do is say that you're not a Christian. She said, no doing. He shot her. I believe that she'll stand by Stephen, the martyr, in heaven, and I think that that's big stuff. And I hope nobody in here ever faces the fact that you have to give up your life for Jesus. I hope you don't have to do that. But I wish you'd say, you know what? If it came down to it, I'm not going to deny Jesus Christ. Because we don't live the way we live based on where we're at or what everybody else is doing. We live the way we live based on the Bible, and the Bible does not change. Don't let circumstances determine your Christianity. Let the Bible determine your Christianity. Now, in this case, the result of doing right, in spite of their circumstances, here's the result. The fire did not burn them. The Bible tells us that, and you heard it earlier, the Bible says that not a hair on their head was singed, not their clothing, they were fine. Now, I would like to say that in most cases, when you take a stand, you won't get burned. And to some degree, that's true. There are times when you ought to say no to certain things, and you're just, the devil will psych you out. He'll just make you believe that if you take a stand for Jesus, it's going to cost you everything. There have been more than one time when I thought, okay, I'm going to bite the dust after I take this stand. And you know what? It was all fine, and I did okay. We get psyched out. You get paranoid about what's going to happen to you. In this case, these young men, do you know, if you really read the scripture, they told the king, they said, look, king, our God's going to spare us. But there's some words in there after that. They said, our God's going to spare us, but if not, we're still going to do the right thing. Now, folks, in most cases, when you take a stand for God, God will spare you. But it'd probably be a good idea for you to throw those words in there. But if not, I'm still going to do the right thing, no matter what it costs me. So, in this case, what did they get? They did not get burnt. Secondly, do you know what happened? They changed the king's mind. The king said, you're going to bow down, you're going to worship me, and if you don't, you're getting thrown in the burning fiery furnace. Now, he didn't throw them in there knowing that on the other end they were coming out unsinged. He threw them in there to murder them for their stand. But you know what happened? Their faith affected the wicked king. Listen to Daniel 3:28. This is when they come out of the fire. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Wow. That's a pretty big deal. They didn't get burnt by the fire. Now the guy that created the fire said, that was not good. I see now their God's the real God. We're going to change things up here a little bit. Huh. That's a great result. Not only that, the last thing I see is, in this case, they then got a promotion. Daniel 3:30 says, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So they got promotion. They got spared of the fire. They changed the king's mind. You say, preacher, can you promise me all that will happen if I take a stand? No, I can't. I can't. But I know it's possible. Because if it happened for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it could happen for you. People compromise in their circumstances thinking it will help them. Because we're pretty self-centered. And one thing we're very concerned about, number one, we ought to do what's right for God. And you ought to be more concerned about what's best for God than what is best for you. But in this circumstance, in this situation, no fire harmed them. They changed the king's mind and they got a promotion out of it. Why? They lived right no matter what the circumstance. And again, I'll promise you, if you go through life deciding what's right and wrong based on the circumstances, you're going to mess yourself up. You decide what's right and wrong based on the Bible, and when you get into the circumstance, keep doing right. And God will bless that. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I call the sermon, this is lesson number 4, circumstantial living. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did what was right because it was right to do. Not because it was convenient. Not because of the setting. They did what was right because it was right to do. Who here tonight would say, "Preacher, I think I can be, I've been challenged. I've learned a little more about the way to live. And boy, folks, it is easy for anyone to get under certain circumstances and say, yeah, I don't think I'm going to live for God now. And if anybody else was in my circumstance, that they wouldn't live for God. No, they would. There are people that would. So here, who here tonight would say, "Pastor, I want to be careful. God has spoken to my heart. I don't want circumstances to determine my behavior. I want the Bible to determine my behavior, and then I'll take my Bible behavior into the circumstance. And God has spoken to my heart about it tonight." Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Amen. Amen. We're going to have an altar call. If you need a moment at the altar will be open. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Circumstantial living. If you need the altar, you come. Do what's right. Do what's right no matter what. Hey, I know it gets tough. It gets tough at work. It gets tough at school. It gets tough with our families. And I don't think we ought to go to school. I don't think we ought to go to work. I don't think we ought to get around our families at the family reunion and be rude and nasty or hateful. But I do think we need to do what's right in all circumstances. The setting in which you find yourself does not determine what's right and wrong. The Bible determines what's right and wrong. Find out what's right and do it. In spite of the situation. Many a Christian has destroyed their testimony because they got in a certain circumstance. They began to make all sorts of sinful exceptions when God just wanted them to do the right thing. Ushers, if we have extra prayer bulletins, we want to get those things ready. Thank you, Mrs.